Well, what are you looking forward to, huh? Okay, take a moment. Take a moment. Think about this. What are you looking forward to? Vacation? Maybe a concert? How about grandkids? How about maybe a promotion at work? How about graduation for somebody in your family? Maybe an inheritance. You know, as simple as it may seem sometimes, maybe just a good night's sleep. And in some cases, which we've been dealing with out here, looking forward to some good weather. Maybe looking forward to the sun coming out. Just so many different things that we end up looking forward. How about an inheritance? You know, if you know that someone has passed maybe and you were in their will, you need and are looking forward to an inheritance of some type. So, you know, these are all really awesome things. But the most awesome thing that I can think of and looking forward to, and woo-hoo, glory, hallelujah, is spoken about in Acts chapter 1, which I'd like to have you turn there. Of course, Acts chapter 1 is very filled and full of all sorts of promises and the fulfillment of those promises that we know in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. So here we are. Acts chapter 1. And here it says, and being assembled together with them, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the time of the seasons that the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, come upon you. So the witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as you can imagine, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. You know, there's a lot of things we look forward to. Vacation, trips, kids, graduations, inheritance, maybe a long-awaited sporting event. Like the around here, it's the Women's College World Series of softball. And you know what? All these things are good. I mean, there's nothing like evil about it. But in the big picture, this verse 11 of Acts 1 says, he's taken up into heaven and he's going to come again in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What an awesome, awesome God we have.
To heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. and the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice, you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the denied. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at the Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the
coming back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Man, what a glorious day that is going to be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to gather the church and forevermore will be in eternity with He and the Father. You talk about hope. You talk about something to look forward to. Yeah, I know we have duties and things that we have to take care of down here on this planet. But boy, in the broad picture, our lives are so uniquely different. Now, it was once said that hope is the endurance factor in life. If we lose sight of Christ's return, life sometimes doesn't even hardly worth living. It's just, there's so much going on. Seems like one circumstance after another, and problems in the world, and health, and money, and all these things. It's like, I mean, help! But in Romans 15:13, it says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing that you may abound through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Let's read it again. I quoted that Now we'll look at it and read it. I think it was pretty accurate. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may what? Abound in what? Hope. Hope. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I tell you, without hope, it makes the heart sick, like we talked about in Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's just not a happy day. You know, Dr. Werwell once said that the greatest book he felt like he ever wrote and taught was Are the Dead Alive Now? You know what that book's about? The hope. The hope. We've got hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're going somewhere. Our future is secure. Yeah, we have to deal with the here and now. We want to put our best efforts and energies into the things that we do. But you know what? There's a new day coming. And that's only going to be the sixth administration, right? There's more to come after that, with ultimately the restoration of the original paradise administration. And God, at this time, really wants us to be knowledgeable that in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Yes, we have sorrow when our brothers and sisters fall asleep. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. How quickly will that happen? I mean, quicker than you can blink your eye. And they which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. When's that going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people have tried to predict it with the stars. You can see all sorts of things on YouTube. You know what? The reality is no one knows except God. But one of these days, it's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of people missing from this world. For sure. So, we may look for a good night's sleep, and I relate to that, because if you don't sleep well, you know what? Your energy level is kind of sucks. And if you're in lousy weather all the time, you know what? You pray for and look forward to some good weather. You know, maybe you bought tickets 6 months ago to go see the Gaither Vocal Band. I mean, I would look forward. I did look forward to it when they were here. And these are all good things. I'm not saying, you know, throw everything in the toilet. But, man, in the bigger picture, we've got a hope that we can wear and be actively engaged in the process of carrying forward, and then also being able to deliver hope, to give others hope who are so hopeless. Because they're so trapped, they're so caught in the environment of the satanic influences of this world. We've been set free. Jesus Christ gave his life on our behalf so we could be free. Chain break, right? We're free from the spiritual bondages and the entanglement and that sort of thing that the devil just tries to get people all wrapped up in. You know what I say to the devil? No. No. I'm done with it. And you and all of your whatevers can take a hike in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I saw a cartoon. I have it saved in my phone. It's a pair of fingers holding up like a little mouse. And the quote underneath says, "And this was what was bothering me and harassing me all the days of my life." And it's just a tiny little, like a bug or a mouse that was being held in two fingers. The devil is a liar. He's a trickster and a deceiver. He knows he's been defeated, and he's trying to do his darndest to talk people out of who they are in Christ and what they really have. So, you know what? Let's put the mouse in the trap and let it go. The devil's under our feet. So, you know what I say to him? Get lost, man. Get lost. I'm not taken it from you anymore. He's done with it. Because we have hope. We have hope in this word right here. And what Romans 15 says, the God of hope, this isn't like a prayer. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. You, George, Leslie, Rebecca, Deanne, Clyde, every one of us. God wants to fill us with hope, with joy and peace and believing that we may abound in what? Hope. There is hope. It's not a false hope. It's a real hope. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy of the scripture. It's going to happen. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he's coming. And no one at that time will be spitting in his face again, right? No one will be being able to make accusations in an illegal way. No, he's coming back. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's in who you and I have chosen to make the Lord of our lives. That choice came up, and we chose right. Thank God. And the reality is, if we never did one thing for God, we're still chosen. We're still his kids. He still loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ. And at the return of Christ, we'd be there. Well, you talk about us. You talk about grace. I mean, I can't wrap my head around it, but God's ways are not our ways, are they? He thinks a lot differently than we do. I just wanted to share this. This is just in my heart today. What are you looking forward to? Well, one of the great things that we can look forward to is Christ. Christ now and Christ coming. It's going to change everything. 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 And I just love these verses that we can share in closing here, I think, in Thessalonians. I mean, yeah, I know we read them at memorial services. And this is the meat and potatoes of part of really the mystery. Yes, the mystery is Gentiles and Jews are one body, and the riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ in you. But this knowledge of the hope of his return is wrapped up in that spiritual package of the mystery. And God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're familiar with it, you could probably quote it, teach it, as well as I could have been. But God doesn't want us ignorant, he doesn't want us stupid and dumb and uninformed, right? Because he says that, brother, I would have not had you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning them which are asleep. Well, who are those that are asleep? They are those who have died. They took their last breath in this earthly tabernacle. And now, according to scripture accuracy, they are asleep. And so this addresses that, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Even as others which have no hope, doesn't mean there isn't sorrow. It just means that we don't sorrow like others who have no hope. It's the end of their world. Sometimes people would kill themselves because someone else died, or they get a divorce, or something cataclysmic happens because they just can't get over it. And verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we all do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Those are people who are born again, who have passed away, who have died, fallen asleep. Those which sleep in Jesus, God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and that means precede them, which are asleep. So for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise when? First. So whomever that we know, or those we don't know, many saints who have fallen asleep in Christ, and Christ was first here upon this earth, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When's that going to happen? I don't know. It could happen before the end of this year. It could happen 100 years from now. But the reality is, it's going to happen. And that hope we have burning in our hearts. With the ability to encourage and comfort one another. Because it says so in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at it, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what hope brings. Encouragement, comfort. It's going to be a glorious day. It's going to happen so quickly we won't even know it has happened. The dead in Christ will rise, we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the cloud. How quickly do you think that's going to happen? In a moment of time. In the twinkling of an eye. Or you can say, amen, amen. It's going to happen. So, whatever it is you are looking forward to, as believers, we have got the ultimate event and the ultimate destination to look forward to in the days and months and years to come. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Gracious Heavenly Father, so blessed and thankful to even have some sort of simplistic knowledge of your word. You blessed us so much with great knowledge. And may the days of our lives, Father, be a living testimony to your goodness. And may we walk in power, walk in strength, and await and look for that glorious day when we will be reunited with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God, when we shall forevermore be together with our Lord and Savior and have that ultimate, intimate contact with the Father. We thank you in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.